This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a parson. So if you're not familiar with that word, parson is what they call clergy in the British Isles in many places. There was a parson and he was a bit frustrated, a bit annoyed by there was one person in his congregation who would read much too fast during the responsive psalm. Right? Today we read our psalm in unison, but there was one person in the congregation who would read much too fast during the responsive psalm. And he spoke up and he spoke and then he paused and he goes, "Today we shall now read the 23rd psalm. But first, will the person who is always by still waters while the rest of us are in green pastures, please wait a minute so we can catch up? The world wants us to hurry, doesn't it? Hurry, hurry, hurry. There's no time for dilly-dally." It's a great word. No dilly-dally. But there are often good things to rush toward, and then there are things that we should step back from. The kingdom of heaven are things we should rush toward. The principles and powers of this world are things that we might want to pause and step back. We read today in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So Paul is talking about there were Gentiles, right, and there were Jewish people. And he goes, but that was before Jesus. Under the banner of Jesus Christ, humanity is one kind. Under the banner of Jesus Christ, all are invited into this love from God, the one true God. Under the banner of Jesus Christ, we are called to break down our divisions, to tear down the walls that separate us, because under the banner of Jesus Christ, God sees us as humankind. Jesus abolished the law with all of its commandments and its ordinances that separated people. He did that so that he might create in himself one new humanity. Now, from the Old Testament reading, Jeremiah to Mark to the Psalm, the leaders of the people continue to get it wrong. So we have this idea that Jesus came to say the leaders have it wrong. Rules and commandments are good, but I am here to break down laws and rules and ways of life that separate us and unite us under this new banner of commonality called Christianity. Of course, he wouldn't have called it that at the time. We call it that now. Under this leader, Jesus. Because the shepherds that have been in charge of the people before continue to lead them astray. People will flock to the shepherd here, someone to tell us what to do and how to be and where to go. We need a leader. And so we flock to leaders and they lead us astray. And Jesus says to those leaders, Jeremiah is the prophet. He is yelling at those leaders at the time, long before Jesus came on the scene. He's telling them, you've done it wrong. You've led them astray. But God will send someone who will unite us. And we will become new citizens, as Paul writes to the Ephesians. We will become new citizens, citizens of first the kingdom of God. Citizens first of the kingdom of heaven. And when we forget that that is our true citizenship is when we continue to fall astray. The world continues to tell us again and again, follow me, follow me, follow me. When the only one we are called to follow is Jesus Christ. How difficult it is to preach this idea of peace. It says that Jesus is the only one that can truly bring us peace, but how difficult it can be to preach this idea of peace in a hostile world. The idea that people from all different walks of life could actually get along. That people that have different opinions and different ideas could actually sit together and share a meal without arguing. Jesus says, absolutely. This is why I have come. But it's easier, isn't it? And for the world it is. It's easier to tear things down. You know, there used to be this old saying that it's easier to pull someone off a chair than it is to pull them up. And the world today loves to tear things down. Ratings show us that people are gripped by negativity and anxiety and anger. That's what sells. That's what gets viewings. That's what gets ratings. That's what gets likes and little heart emojis. But Jesus says again and again, there is a new way. And one of the things that he tells his disciples today, let's go away for a while. Oh, wouldn't we all dream? Let's go away for a while. Maybe we could have our own little island with just the people who want to be chill and hang out with Jesus. Let's go away for a while. And even when they try to go away, what happens? The people find them. Because they are so desperate for healing. They are so desperate for truth. They are so desperate for peace that all sources of social decorum have gone astray. And they're running ahead of them. I think he's going to that town. Let's get there first. And so as much as they try to rest, the world's needs continue to encroach on their life. What does it mean to rest? Well, the world will always have needs. There will always be laundry that needs to be done, a floor that needs to be swept, a car that needs to be fixed. There will always be friends and family members who need help. What does it look like to rest in a weary world? In our Book of Common Prayer, the red book there in the pew in front of you, there are lots of prayers in there, hence Book of Common Prayer. And one of them is actually a prayer for the good use of leisure. Now, why did it find its way in there? Well, for the very reason that we need rest. But the key is that the title of the prayer is for the good use of leisure. And it goes like this: Oh God, in the course of this busy life, give us times of refreshment and peace, and grant that we may use our leisure to rebuild our bodies, to renew our minds, so that our spirits may be opened to the goodness of your creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's an acknowledgement right there that in the hurriedness and the busyness of life, and all of these things are important, but I promise life goes on, even when we can't tend to them. But all of these things are important. But it says, in the hurriedness and the busyness, we need to step aside to take time to rebuild our bodies, renew our minds, so that our spirit can see the goodness in the world. Because when our spirit is weary from all the things that the world tells us are terrible and horrible, the spirit needs to be renewed so we can see goodness. And it's in seeing goodness that we are able to spread the love of God. A collect for the good use of leisure. Now that's a religion and a faith I can get behind. So I was starting to think about this idea. We have so many things going on here, right? We have this idea in Jeremiah. It's not an idea, it's a truth, that the leaders have led the people astray, but the people are desperate for someone to show them the right way. And Jeremiah says that person will come. And we have Paul who writes into the Ephesians. Remember, this would be after Jesus' death and resurrection. This would be a church like us in Ephesus. This would be a group of people who are trying to figure it out in this world. And Paul says, look, there's only true peace you can get is in Jesus. So when the world is wearing you out, the only true peace you will find is in Jesus. And now, how do we find that? And Jesus says, how do we find that place to rest? And Jesus says, you have to go away for a while. You have to nourish your spirit. So it made me think about this story. I had a lot of different stories. Like, what's a great example? So I'm gonna make a confession today. I have a squirrel. Some of you have met my squirrel. We found her here on the premises. We had the fish fry back in March. And at the time, I thought it was a boy, very tiny. And turns out it's a girl, because, you know, eventually you discover that it's not a boy. So we named her Lionel, which is a boy's name, but it's still Lionel. And I call her Nellie. And, you know, all the things on the internet said that squirrels won't remember you. Well, guess what? She did. And we released her into the yard. And she lives in our yard. She lives in every tree in our yard. Squirrels are busy. If you're not a squirrel person, if you know, they are very, very busy. So yesterday, because I was practicing leisure, which was more like, felt like wasting time, right? I thought at the end of the day, I'm like, well, that was a great waste of a day. And of course, my husband being the lovely man, it was relaxing. That's one way to look at it. But during that boredom of the day, I thought, I'm gonna go find the squirrel. Let me go say hi to the squirrel. And every time I would go out, she was busy. Digging holes all over the yard. She would look up at me and then she would keep digging. And then she would find a nut and then she would move it. And she'd bury it. And then she'd pick it up and then she'd move it again. And all over the yard, for hours, she did this all day long, digging and moving her nuts to keep them away from the other squirrels. And I also learned that in this, that squirrels dig like decoy holes. Did you know that? They dig decoy holes so the other squirrels will think that's where they hid something, but it's not. So all day long, she's busy in the yard, and I keep wanting to go out and play with her. I want to pet her, you know, and she does. She lets us pet her. She'll play. It's really fun and sweet. And so I would go out, and she would, you know, she would fuss at me. Get away. Right? She would run at my feet and jump off my leg like, go. You're interfering with my busy work. You're in the way. Get out of the way. Please don't interrupt my work for hours. And I thought, poor little thing must be so exhausted. And then I started to worry because, again, it was a slow day. So I was like, well, let's worry about something because that's what we do, right? So let me worry about whether or not she's okay. Like, oh my God, she seems so stressed out. Does she need more food? I mean, we put food out all the time. What is wrong? You know. So then there's the worry, right? So I'll just fill my time with worry. And I would try to bring her nuts out and she would ignore them. And we'd bring her strawberry out and she ignored it. Or bring her a carrot out and she would ignore it. I'm like, okay, it can't be because she's hungry. But clearly she was busy. And she left little scratches because she would say no. Like she was clear and I wasn't listening. She's like, I'm busy, leave me alone. And I wasn't listening, you stupid human. And I was so sad. Because at the end of the day, all I really wanted was just a little time with my squirrel. But she was too busy. And I thought, I wonder how often God feels like, I just want a little time with my people. But they're too busy. I don't want much, just a little scratch, a little pet, just a little attention. You know, hey, I'm here, please pay attention to me. How often does God just say, I just want my people to pay attention, just for a little while. But they're just so darn busy. Amen.